What is happening, people of the interwebs? Welcome to Season 2, Episode 8, otherwise known as Episode Number 33 of the Reverend Babble Podcast. This is Cody Kelly.
Hey, 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 it's Neil Huntley.
And we're so happy that you come back to join us for some more Reverend Babbling.
Yes, sir. Hey, what a beautiful week it is.
It has been amazing.
We're talking about
this
weather
week.
To begin the show again, but
I have to say,
what a pretty day today, Tuesday, and it's going to be really pretty on Thursday when this is out too. It's just awesome weather outside, man.
I've been so happy about this weather the last few days, man. I've been trying to take in as much of it as I can, and what was nice too is that yesterday, being Monday as this recording, It was the first Monday that was like not wet and rainy.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how long, which like seems like a small thing, but the weather really does have an impact on how you feel throughout the day.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
I was about to say, it really affects how you go and just feel throughout the day, because like, you know, when I'm starting school on Monday and it's a bad day, I'm just like not ready to do it at all. I mean, like, granted, because it's a Monday, I'm not really wanting to do it anyway. But then, you know, combine that with the, you know, with the wet and the cold, it's just like, man, I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah.
But having this weather is really nice.
This good weather is definitely good on the mental side of things. It kind of gets you excited to go out and about. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, what's new with you, man?
Well, let's see. As usual, classes and all that stuff, getting even closer to getting that degree. Looking forward to that. I went and watched some Wingate University baseball games last weekend. They had a 4-game series against...
It was Lincoln Memorial, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I thought I saw that on Twitter.
Yes, it was. The Rail Splitters.
Okay.
Yeah. The Rail Splitters.
That sounds like a minor league team, not a college team.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I think one of the minor league teams for the Yankees is called the Rail Splitters.
Really?
Or something similar to that,
at least. How about that?
Yeah. But yeah, so we played them. We lost the first game of the series, but then we won the last three. So we took 3 out of 4 from LMU. So that was really cool to see. It was really fun games to watch. You know, well, like, of course, just being out there in person watching baseball games is, you know, like... Or just watching sports in general was just a lot of fun for me, just being able
and
to see that again.
I saw you had it on your phone before we got started Sunday night at youth, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the final game of that 4-game series. What was funny is while we were in church, they were down 6-0 at one point, and then they ended up coming back and winning that last game 10-6.
Yeah, they had a miraculous comeback in that last game, didn't they?
Yes, for sure. Like, I think it scored a couple runs, you know, throughout the first half of the game, you know, make it 6-2, and then it scored like 8 runs in the 8th inning.
Wow.
And won 10-6.
That's
awesome.
So
that was pretty insane to see, for sure.
Cool, man.
You know, but like, that was obviously a lot of fun to see. You know, like, it was obviously really nice being able to be out in this nice weather we're having. Like I said, you know, we've been talking about weather a lot recently, but it's just really nice to see a change of pace as far as this weather is concerned, man, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, buddy.
So, man, what's been with you?
Oh, yeah, well, how can I say this? I had to adult this past weekend.
Okay.
Well, that started before the weekend, and it came to a conclusion on Monday this week.
Okay.
So on the way home for lunch, I believe it was Thursday or Friday. I can't remember which day it was, but I think it was Thursday.
Okay.
I was headed up the road, and a tow truck was coming the opposite way on a 2-lane road. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, we live in rural Union County. There's 2-lane roads out here.
Yes.
And so the tow truck was coming, had a pretty big load, so he was kind of trying to stay off the side of the road so it wouldn't, you know, tip over.
Right.
And so he needed a little bit more room at the middle. So I was giving him that room, you know, and I went off the road just for maybe a second, you know, not even a whole second, and I heard ta-dunk on my, like, I ran over something. I was like, that didn't sound good, you know, because usually you can hit a rock or something like that, and it don't sound terrible, but it didn't sound too good.
Uh-oh.
So I was like, in my mind, I was thinking, I'll just, you know, walk around the truck when I get home, because I was literally less than half a mile from the house. I said, I'll just check the truck when I get home, see what I hit. And as soon as I was thinking that, as soon as I said, that doesn't sound good, when good came out of my mouth, ding-a-ding, tire sensor went off.
Oh, no.
And I said, okay, let's go to that. And so usually I think my tires are around 38, 40 PSI in the tires, depending on, you know, the weather.
Uh-huh.
Talking about weather again. But it went from 38 to 26 to 14 to 6. By the time I got to the driveway, it was at 6.
Oh,
and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to make it up the driveway. So I went really slow because I didn't want the tire to come off the rim, you know, and then I'd be in even more trouble.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
and I was
for sure.
And I was like, okay, just try to get up there. And I made it to the garage. As soon as I turned the truck off and opened the door, I could hear, and I said, oh, man.
Oh, man.
So it turns out I ran over what was left of a kitchen knife sharpener. You know those things that has a handle and it has like a serrated, like it's almost like a serrated piece of metal that you rub the blade over to sharpen the knife. You know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
It was that was the metal piece of a knife sharpener.
And why was that just laying on the side of the road?
Well, there's no telling what kind of truck it fell off. Because, we live right there on the way to the landfill and all that stuff.
Oh, that's true.
And so, it went through the side of the tire and went out the bottom of the tire. And I was like, well,
wow,
there ain't no plugging that,
Nope.
Because if it was just a screw, I could plug that, stuff like that. I was like, ain't no plugging that.
Nope.
So I shopped around and finally found somebody. I said, yeah, it's going to be about $400. I was like, okay, well, I guess I need a wheel, so... Yeah, but $400 later, hey, you got to do what you got to do. Life happens. Adult stuff happens. Adult life happens. And, hey, I got here today, didn't I? So we're all good.
Hey.
That's why you save money. That's why you don't spend outrageous amounts when you don't have to for moments like that.
And that's the reason why you don't buy expensive Hornets tickets if you don't have to.
Exactly. I was going to bring that up in a little bit when we got to the sports section. But yeah, so that's what happened, and then we talked about this is the fourth time I'm gonna mention weather. Okay, maybe fourth time.
Yeah,
maybe we should change the title to Reverent Babble Scriptures, Sports, and Storm Cells. I don't know. Let's keep the essays going.
Yeah, I mean, hey,
but with great weather, so I'm sounding like Uncle Ben off Spider-Man, didn't I?
Yeah, I was about to say
with great weather comes a great
responsibility.
No, a great amount of pollen. Okay.
Yes, true.
And with good weather also comes time for me to get back on the mower at work. So my allergies have been cranked up because of the pollen.
I bet.
And because of just breathing in grass. To the point where I scared myself yesterday, Cody.
Uh-oh.
I scared myself to the point that I couldn't taste or smell yesterday.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. So don't get nervous sitting over there.
I was about to say, whoa, what are you talking about now?
This is the first he's heard about it, y'all. How didn't you told him yet? So I had to be cautious, and I got myself tested yesterday. We're good.
All right, cool.
So shout out to Wingate University Health Center because they have the rapid test and the lab test all in the same building. So I don't have to go off to some lab in Charlotte and take 2 or 3 days to come back.
Nice.
I was able to get poked 2 times in each nose and heard back in 2 hours I was negative. I was good to go. But waking up yesterday morning.
I bet.
Not being able to taste or smell anything, and I mean anything, okay?
Wow.
That was scary for about 20 minutes where I was like, well, I mean,
oh yeah,
I was kind of freaking out and I was like, well, ain't nothing I can do about it now,
Yeah.
But thankfully I'm not having to sit in my bedroom for 2 weeks. So we're good.
Yes.
So, but I'm feeling great today. I don't feel any like I did yesterday. That's for sure.
That's good, man.
I tasted my Chick-fil-A for lunch today. And so we're good to go.
Yes.
So this is a no COVID zone, people. So don't freak out. And Cody,
I wanted to get your raw reaction.
I was
slightly concerned
for
a couple seconds. I was like, okay, what you got up your sleeve here, man?
But yeah, we're good. So it was a very eventful weekend, to say the least.
Yeah.
And we got to go with Graham and some friends of ours to a little play place in Indian Trail over the weekend too, so that was fun.
Oh, that's cool, man.
Absolutely, man.
I bet that was pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, we got a really good show lined up. I have the Double Play Devo this week. We're going to be reading out of Romans, and then we'll talk about some sports.
That sounds great. Let's do it. All right, and we're back. Welcome to this week's Double Play Devo. And like we just mentioned a minute ago, it will be Neil presenting this week's Devo.
Yeah.
All right, man, so what you got?
So we're reading out of Paul's letter to the Romans today.
Oh,
and
okay.
If you don't know which one that is, that's the book of Romans.
Romans, okay? All right.
And
cool.
It's the 15th chapter of Romans, okay?
The 15th chapter of Romans,
so, This is part of my reading plan that I have on the YouVersion app.
Uh-huh.
This is a daily thing. And I had to be honest, I was a few days behind. So, James, if you're hearing this, you failed at not keeping me accountable. It's your fault, not mine. Because every now and then he'll like passively text me about, dude, this morning's reading was like intense, or this morning's reading.
Right.
And then that way I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Because, I mean, I'll get on there and read sometimes. And then sometimes I'm ready for his text. And sometimes I'm like, oh, no, I forgot. So...
Right.
But today's, this is the one, and I'm catching up, so don't worry. But this is the first little section is talking about bearing one another's burdens,
okay?
And the last little section in the same chapter as glorifying God together. So we're going to read about half of Romans 15 today, okay?
All right.
And the one thing that kind of stuck out to me, and I'll tell you the verse when we get there, is in this, I hate using this word because it just sounds weird coming out of my mouth because I'm not a teenager, but you've heard about people being clout chasers, right?
Yeah.
Where they just do stuff for clicks online. They don't do it for any other good reason than yes. to just get attention online.
Yeah.
You know? Where you see like, oh, I helped this homeless person today. And then like and share if you care, stuff like that.
Right, yeah.
You know, or stuff like that. Or, I just gave this person a hamburger when they said they didn't have any food. So, how good am I, you know? So, I'll kind of stop there for a second when we get to that verse. But
well, I do understand what you mean because I am a teenager in 2021. So, yes, I do know what you're saying.
And there's plenty of those people out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's plenty of those of YouTubers out there that do that. That they literally just do stuff for attention, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And not to call any of them out, but some of them are actually entertaining and they're not doing it. You know, they're not using somebody else's misfortune for their benefit. They're just doing it to get clicks other ways, you know?
Uh-huh.
But the people that are out there doing it to use somebody else's misfortune as their benefit, that's kind of what
right.
that's what I'm kind of harping on today. You know,
okay.
You can do a good deed without making a big deal about it, you know, without bragging about yourself. You just do it because you're supposed to do it to help that person.
And right.
This is in scripture. So just follow along with me as we read in Romans chapter 15. It says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good." So his and his, it doesn't say let each of us please his neighbor for our good, okay? Because, I mean,
right.
That's one of the main crucial points of our faith in Christ is that good deeds are not getting us anywhere to heaven, right? I mean, that's not our ticket to heaven is mm-hmm. a list of good deeds, you know? And, I mean, because there's no keeping score when it comes to things like that.
That's what makes being a Christian and just Christianity unique.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that, you know, it's not about good works. It's just about...
Right.
Asking Jesus to come into your heart.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't
develop that relationship.
You don't have to meet a business quota of good deeds to get into heaven. You know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So, but it says let each of us please his neighbor for his good. So you're doing it for their benefit, not yours. Keep on reading. It says leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. Christ did it to please us. You know, Christ died on that cross for us. He didn't do it for him. If he was doing it for him, he could just jump down and been done with it and said, forget this. But he didn't. He wasn't doing it for him. He was doing it for his joy, and that being us, and our joy being Jesus. That's why that joy is a two-way street. But getting back to the scripture, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant to you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that section is talking about we need to be there for each other, to carry each other through our burdens so we can glorify Christ together through those burdens. That's what that's talking about.
Right, yeah.
And so if you see a fellow human being struggling, do your best to help them, okay? Sometimes, you know, your best might be only a little bit for them, but they can have somebody else come and help them through it too. And sometimes you giving it your all, they might not be grateful for it, but that's not on you. That's on them, okay?
Right.
So, I mean, this is kind of a side story or a sidetrack, you know, we see people on the side of the road sometimes with cardboard sign, you know?
Yes.
In my best, and what I know best, sometimes it's best to give them food or give them,
right.
like, substance, you know?
Like, give them substance instead of, like...
Because yeah. we don't know what they're going through. They might be really trying really, really hard to get through an addiction, you know?
Yes.
Not saying that every homeless person is addicted to something. I'm not saying that at all.
Uh-huh.
But...
Right.
Sometimes it's easier to give them nourishment than it is to give them money that they could be tempted to buy something else with,
right.
you know, or yeah. they might really need money and you can kind of see it in their eyes if they just need some money. Okay. And that kind of helps, but it leads them away from temptation to go buy other things. If you just give them, you know, nourishment and things like that, essential stuff. So
right.
that's what that's doing. Help them out. If you even if you have somebody in the church that, you know, is struggling with a sin, and they're, you know, they're open about it, hold them accountable. Talk to them about it. Sometimes, well, there's people in the church that you may be struggling with something that you think you're the only one that's dealing with it. No, there's no sin that you're struggling with that man hasn't dealt with before. You know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so you can find somebody in your church that probably has gone through the same situation or very similar situation, and they can lift you up. You can lift them up, keep each other accountable. And while you're doing that, you're glorifying God through bearing one another's burdens. Okay?
Yeah.
And then this last little section, let me read this real quick, starting at verse 7. It says, "Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, 'For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.' And again he says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples.' And again, Isaiah says, 'There shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.'" Okay? So that the whole thing of that is you're not helping somebody in need for your own personal gain. You're helping them get back on track. And while you're doing that together, you're also glorifying God. That's what that's talking about. So don't do a good deed just because it makes yourself feel better. Don't do a good deed just so you can post about it online and get a handful of likes, and then guess what? The next day it's just forgotten about because it's not on anybody's, you know, timeline or Twitter feed. Okay, that's old news. And whatever you did, if you're doing it just for attention, most people call you out for it. You know?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Do it out of the kindness of your own heart. Do it because God called you to do so. Okay, I mean, just a minute ago when I was at Food Line before I came here, I saw a lady working on a car, and I was about to go over there and just ask, "Hey, is there anything I do?" But she was a woman on a mission. Like, she knew what was going on. She was going in family, or either she was going in Food Line to get something to help with her car.
Okay,
so she looked like she knew exactly what was going on.
She looked like she knew
what
she was doing.
But when I just saw her open the hood, I was like, "Hey, I can walk over there." And then I saw her just, you know, you could tell the wheels were turning, and she was determined that she knew what to do. So I didn't worry about it. But I wasn't going to do that for my personal gain. She had car trouble. Okay, mm-hmm. I'd have done that anyway. I'd have gone help anybody, you know. So
right.
Yeah. So do it for their gain, to help them help you one day, and you're glorifying God at the same time.
You know, and plus too, whenever we have that close relationship with God, like once we're saved and we kind of build up that closeness with God and we draw closer to him, you know, and when we draw closer to him, you know, we kind of think more like him, you know,
yeah.
We're trying to be like him. You know, that's what being Christian is all about. And whenever that happens, when we see people that are in need, or see people that need someone to bear their burdens for them, that should just come more naturally to us because we have that closeness and a relationship with God. And that way we'll have a lot less chance of helping people for our own personal gain and helping them for their own gain as well.
Amen. Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head with that, dude. Alrighty, let me check my watch. Oh yeah, that's right. It is sports time.
Yeah, it is.
Time to update y'all on the week that it was in the world of sports. This is
the weekly score.
Cody, do we have any baseball news today?
Surprisingly, we don't.
No.
Well, like, there really hasn't been a lot of stuff that's happened over the last week other than just we've seen more games played during spring training.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool to watch spring training, you know, just because you get to see your team back in action again, and plus you get to see a few of your minor league guys that may or may not be called up at some point during the year. You know, but after a while, you're kind of like, okay, that's cool, but I'm ready for the season to start.
Right, yeah.
And
it's
because
just a tease.
Of that,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, since that's the case, there's not really a lot of big
sure.
news or anything going on right now, you know, because really the season's started without it really starting.
Right.
You know, so like there's not really any big moves or anything like that.
Yeah.
Although there is one thing I will bring up for my Boston Red Sox fan in me. Red Sox outfielder Jackie Bradley Jr., or should I say former Red Sox outfielder Jackie Bradley Jr., signed a 2-year contract with the Milwaukee Brewers worth $24 million.
Wow.
So, and I think that's part of the reason why the Red Sox didn't bring him back, because I don't think they were willing to pay him $12 million a season.
Yeah.
Basically just to play defense, because his hitting has not been great the last few seasons. I will say in the shortened 2020 season, he did turn up a little bit, but in my opinion, it was just kind of a little too late, you know, and so the Red Sox did not bring him back, and he's now a Milwaukee Brewer, so.
Well, there you go.
But other than that, that's basically all I got.
Yeah, well, in the video game world, according with talking about baseball, you know, we keep seeing previews of the new MLB The Show. That's on my mind because it's actually coming to Xbox this year. You know, we've talked about that on here when we talked about the college football game that's coming out probably never. But they just said it was, and now we hadn't heard anything else about it. But with the MLB The Show, they said on the next-gen console, there's going to be Stadium Creator.
Yeah.
That's really cool. You know, on 2K, you can kind of customize the arena on your custom teams. You can kind of do what you want to, but you can only do so much to a basketball arena, you know?
Right.
You can edit the floor, the colors, and stuff like that. But with Stadium Creator, I mean, it looks like you'd be able to
talk about a lot of stuff.
How, like, if you want two or three decks in the outfield, if you just want one deck, if you want UFOs flying in the background.
Well, like, something that I hope you can do, and I'm sure you can, is change, like, the height of the walls.
I believe you can.
You know, well, like, what would be cool is if you have, like, a left field wall that's, like, really tall, you know.
Kind of like a Green Monster.
A Green Monster type of vibe. But then for, like, right field, it's, like, a lot farther away, but the wall's, like, 5 feet high.
Yeah.
You know, but like...
So it's like 450 feet, but it's
like a 5 foot tall wall. So if you just get a hold of a ball, it'll go over the wall pretty easily just because there's not much of a wall there. You know, but just something funny like that would be really cool. And just plus having that Stadium Creator idea in mind, it just kind of brings you back to the old sports games.
Yes.
Where you can make stadiums or courts or fields or whatever you wanted for a sports game. So that kind of brings you back to the old sports games too, which is really cool.
Maybe when I make my Charlotte expansion team, or when I relocate the Rays to Charlotte, you know, that's still my goal. Maybe if for you know, the right field, they'll be normal. The right and left field will be normal, but center field, it'll go up to like a 40-foot wall, and then dead center, it's just like 5 foot. So you got like a jackpot section that you can go right into.
Right.
Or if you don't, just going off the wall. Maybe, you know, something you can. It basically looks like the bounds are almost endless.
Endless.
That's exciting to see. And, of course, we know the team creator on there is pretty boundless as well.
Mm-hmm.
So make your own logos and all kind of stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, like, I've obviously played a lot of MLB The Show, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, that was really the only downfall about of last year's game. Or I guess it's technically still this year's game because, you know, it hasn't come out yet. I mean, but, like, that was really the only major downfall about the fact that you could create your own team for a franchise is that you couldn't create a stadium. You basically had to pick and choose either a current team stadium, a former stadium.
Or like a minor league stadium.
And, like, really the only ones that you could do realistically that would work are the minor league stadiums, you know, because they're not, like, official stadiums or anything, you know, like the other stadiums are in the park. And it's, like, you know, like, what was weird is, like, okay, like, say you wanted to relocate the Minnesota Twins and you want to, you know, or something like that, but you want them to still be in Minnesota, you just wanted them to, like, basically rebrand or something in a different name. Well, you can't really keep them in the same stadium.
Because the logos and all that.
Because all the logos and stuff are going to be all over the field.
Right.
So it's really hard for you to feel like this is your own thing when it's just basically a different team in the same stadium.
Gotcha.
But now with the, you know, but now that that's going to be in the game, at least for next gen anyway, that would be something really cool just to add to the franchise mode experience. You can not only create your team, but create your own field you play at.
Yeah, that's cool. And I'll say this, and then we'll move on to I think you got some basketball news. My favorite stadium to play in a baseball video game, the Polo Grounds.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I love playing because
100%.
Because if you catch a liner to either left or right, down the line, it's gone.
Uh huh.
But you can also
hit one the center field.
Yeah, you can hit one center field, get inside the Parker, or you can hit it just right in the corners where the bullpens are, and it gets caught up under the seats. You know.
Yeah.
So it's the Polo Grounds is a fun place to play in a video game. I can't imagine playing there in real life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I don't even understand how those people even played in a stadium like that back then. I just don't get how you would have thought this is even fair.
Exactly.
Like,
well, and, you know, they did what they had to do. They didn't. That was the New York Giants, right?
Yes.
Who played there? Yeah, because Willie Mays made that crazy catch.
Yes.
In that stadium, yeah. Well, cool. But yeah, so there's your weather and video game news for today. So, Cody, we got some basketball to talk about though, right?
Yes, we do. We got some basketball stuff to talk about. We don't really have any games to recap because there really hasn't been many games this past week because it's the All-Star weekend.
Sure.
But before we get into what happened during All-Star weekend, I want to talk about some of the power rankings as usual.
All right.
Because there has been a change at the top.
Okay.
Number one team is not... Okay, what is the number one team? I'm assuming you haven't already seen my paper.
I haven't. I saw was NBA news. I hadn't seen your paper yet. So you want me to guess who it is?
Uh-huh. Yes. I want you to guess who the number one team.
Can I ask one question? It won't really narrow it down that much. Is it in the East or Western Conference?
It is in the Eastern Conference.
Oh, it is in the East. Oh, wow.
Yes.
No way. Oh, man.
It is in the Eastern Conference.
That throws out all my guesses.
Yes. It's in the Eastern Conference.
Is it Brooklyn?
It is Brooklyn.
Are you serious?
It is Brooklyn.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You're dead serious.
I'm dead serious.
Just because of Blake Griffin?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Because of Blake Griffin.
I
kid you not, man. When I looked this up for this week's Power Rankings, I saw they were number one. I'm like, okay, you cannot tell me that they went up to number one because they got Blake Griffin. Because
I was thinking it can't be Milwaukee.
It's not Milwaukee. They're actually number seven now.
Yeah, it can't be, you know, like definitely Miami.
No, definitely not Miami. Like, they're not even top ten.
Yeah, Hornets are the same. And I was like, then I thought, no. And I just didn't. Oh, no way. Yes.
The Brooklyn Nets are ranked number one in the NBA right now. They are ranked number one in the NBA right now. They won 9 out of their last 10 games. And obviously, they just signed Blake Griffin for the rest of this season.
So you're telling me the Jazz have the best record in the league and they're number three?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, gosh.
Yes. They are ranked number three behind Brooklyn and Phoenix.
And they whooped the Lakers week four.
But that's my point, is that I don't understand these power rankings. But just to kind of say the top, obviously number one is Brooklyn. Number two is the Phoenix Suns. I can see how you can make them top three, for sure. Number three is the Jazz, which I think that's crazy. That are number three. Number four is the 76ers. Number five is the Denver Nuggets. Number six is the Los Angeles Lakers. They're all the way down at number six now.
Wow.
Well, but it doesn't help, you know, that they are 3-7 in their last 10 games.
Yeah, that don't help.
That doesn't help them out with that either.
No.
And then ranked number seven are the Bucks. I already said that. And then number eight is the Los Angeles Clippers. Number nine is the Dallas Mavericks. And number 10 is the Portland Trailblazers.
Okay.
Are ranked number 10.
Wow.
And the Charlotte Hornets are ranked number 17.
So they hadn't changed.
Right. So the Hornets have not changed since last week's power rankings. But I still can't get over the fact that Brooklyn's number one, dude. That is crazy.
I know they won some games.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, do you remember where they were last week? I don't remember where they were last week.
I'm pretty sure last week they were either number four, number five, number six. Like,
so that literally means they jumped up to one because of getting Blake Griffin.
They were either just inside the top five or right outside the top five, but they were definitely not top three. I don't think last week at all. Like, for those of you listening, you can go back and maybe I said it last week if they were or not. But
I can't remember right off either.
Because I can't really think back that far anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, pretty much they moved up to number one because they got Blake Griffin. And I just don't understand how. But, okay, the one thing that I will say other than that, why I don't understand the rank number one is that they really haven't. Okay, wait, let's be honest. Okay, yes, they've played pretty well, but I don't think they've performed up to my expectations at all, or really most people's expectations, in my opinion. Because, okay, yes, they do have the big three. Okay, really, it's been more of a big two lately because Kevin Durant's been hurt for a while.
Yeah.
But
what's new? Sorry.
Well, what's true there? But still, I just don't see how they can be ranked number one because Durant's been out for a couple weeks, and they just got Blake Griffin. And whenever they do play, they win most of the time, but they don't win, like, handedly. When you see the Jazz play, most of the time they win handedly.
Mm-hmm.
When you see even Phoenix play, you could argue that they win handedly in most of their games.
Yeah.
And whenever I watch the Nets games or Nets highlights, a lot of the final scores are really close, which for a team as good as they are on paper,
uh-huh,
you'd think they'd be winning more by double digits or just more sound victories than they have been.
And
I guess that's just interesting to me.
I guess this is a perfect segue into talking about them getting Blake Griffin. Because that happened very fast, by the way.
Yes, for sure. That just kind of happened all of a sudden.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think this would be more worthy of the hype 5 years ago.
Yes.
I think so. Not saying Blake Griffin's not a good basketball player. He's Blake Griffin.
Right.
But he's gotten a little bit older.
Yeah.
He's got some injuries about him, which comes with getting older in the league. And I don't know if it was just because he was in Detroit, but he really wasn't playing that all that great.
Mm-mm.
And, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Which is kind of surprising because for a team like Detroit, you just thought he had been like...
Stand out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, yeah. You thought he'd been like standing out more.
Yeah, and, you know, man, I wouldn't put it past him to crank it back up. Well, now that he's on the contender.
No, that wouldn't surprise me,
you know. And I saw something that said, you know, these two guys are reunited, talking about him and DeAndre Jordan.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, that would have been cool like 5 years ago, too. You know, because, I mean, DeAndre Jordan, he hadn't done much since he left LA either, you know.
Right.
He's a solid player, but he ain't jumping out of the gym like he used to. Like, what was that guy's name? Brandon Knight. Yeah, poor Brandon Knight.
He got
crossed up by Kyrie, Kemba, get dunked on by DeAndre Jordan, and whew, yeah, that's still one of the best memes is DeAndre Jordan's face after he dunked on him. But the switching from that to the Pistons, because it's kind of about the same thing,
right?
Detroit Pistons.
The Pistons are in rough shape.
Bless
dude.
Their heart.
Well,
that's about as nice as I can say. Just bless their heart.
Well, what's just strange about the Pistons, and this is something that both me and you talked about just before we started recording this week's episode. I'm not really sure what the Pistons' plan is, to be honest with you, because basically for the last few years, they've either traded away good players for nothing, or they've let them walk and obviously got nothing in return for that.
Yep.
So I'm not really sure what Detroit's plan is here for rebuilding, because they just lost money for releasing Blake Griffin.
They had to spend money to let him go. They bought his contract out.
They had to spend, like you said, the rest of his contract just to make him leave.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that doesn't help your team get any better, obviously.
Yeah, I don't...
Because now you're even more of a hole financially.
Yeah, you're talking about them not getting much out of letting guys go. I found this random tweet today, and it just, I guess it's, you know, just one of those random things that can go viral, because who knows what'll go viral when. But this guy tweeted, the Pistons turned Blake Griffin, Tobias Harris, who hates the Hornets apparently because he always goes off on them.
Yeah.
So the Pistons turn Blake Griffin, Tobias Harris, Andre Drummond, and Reggie Jackson into one second-round pick.
Yeah.
So all of that.
A second-round pick.
All they got in return was a second-round pick. And this guy below is trying to argue back saying that's not a good sports take because they got back $30 million in cap from Drummond. Yeah, but you just spent that buying out Blake Griffin.
I was about to say, but all that cap you saved by letting those guys go, you just spent a lot of that by releasing Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
So that didn't really help.
Yeah. The Pistons, man, I tell you what, once Jordan and the boys took down the Bad Boys, they hadn't been the same ever since.
Nope.
You know?
Not really.
So, wow.
No, not really. Like, pretty much the only time you could say they weren't was that run in 04.
Well, yeah, that's true.
That run in 04, they were pretty good.
I wouldn't think about that a second. But, they did win the championship that year. That was a pretty stacked team. But
Yeah, pretty much, for sure. But transitioning from that to All-Star Weekend recap, there's not really much to recap, you know, just because it's All-Star Weekend. I mean, obviously, there is stuff to watch on All-Star Weekend, you know, but it's the All-Star Weekend, so basically just all see the top players for a bunch of different teams come together in one city and play for a little bit, you know, which is obviously fun. But with that being said, let's just kind of talk about who won each, you know, event, and then we'll talk about who won the All-Star game.
Yeah, I'm going to let you take the reins of this because I told you before we started recording, I didn't get to see a lick of it. I saw, like, little blips of it on Twitter because I was in a church meeting till 10:30 at night. So,
yeah,
just happened to miss most of it. And by the time I got home, didn't really want to rewatch it or anything. I was ready to go to bed.
And I don't blame you there at all, man.
Yeah,
I made me there one bit.
Take it away.
All right, so the winner of the three-point contest was Steph Curry.
Oh, shocker.
Well, which, here's the thing. It would have been more of a shocker if he didn't win a three-point contest. Let's be fair here. But, you know, like, obviously, Steph Curry, son of a former Hornet, Dell Curry, the best shooter in NBA history. Yes, that's my take on
Steph.
It.
Steph, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Steph is the best shooter in NBA history, and he won the three-point contest. You know, and let's be honest here, it really wasn't much of a contest. I mean, sure, you could argue there were some close parts there, but once you see Steph Curry up there, you just know, like, okay, he's probably gonna win.
Yeah, so they play this in Atlanta, right?
Yes, they did.
So where was he shooting from? Was he shooting from the Coca-Cola Museum? Because, I mean, he's
pretty much
make it from anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's like, Whenever you see Curry just shoot from anywhere, you feel pretty confident it's going to go in.
Yeah.
For sure. But anyway, so Steph Curry won a three-point contest. The skills competition was won by Domantas Sabonis.
Okay.
From the Pacers.
Yeah, from the Pacers. Yep.
I really hope I said his name right.
You did.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Yeah, but anyway, so anyway, he won the skills competition, so that was kind of interesting.
LaMelo was snubbed.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Should have been in there.
Absolutely should have been in that, for sure. But, you know, probably the reason he didn't get any consideration because his team's like 500 or below 500.
True.
So that didn't really help either. True. But anyway, chances are he'll be there next year and he'll probably do amazing in that next season for sure. And then the winner of the dunk competition was Anfernee Simons from the Portland Trailblazers.
Uh-huh.
And I actually did watch a few of his dunks.
He did better than Obi Toppin, didn't he? Toppin in the same dunk competition, too?
It was him, you know, like pretty much the main two guys everyone wanted to watch that competition was Obi Toppin and him.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch the whole thing, but I did watch parts of it. And the parts that I at least saw from TV and Twitter, you know, at least the highlights that they showed, I would say that Toppin did pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Toppin did have one move that I thought that the judges kind of underrated a little bit, but I'd say for as far as overall performance, I'd say that Simons probably deserved it.
Okay.
But as far as like outstanding moves, like it was amazing, I'd say Obi Toppin probably had one that was probably a little underjudged in my opinion, but you know, he is on the Knicks, you know, and the Knicks always kind of get a little bit of unfair treatment sometimes.
True.
You know, but
yeah, Aaron Gordon, you remember him off the Magic? He's the biggest slam dunk snub that
absolutely
he should have, you know, that one competition was between him and Zach LaVine.
Yes.
LaVine, don't get me wrong,
LaVine's
amazing,
good.
But the dunks that Gordon did over the mascot all those times,
yes,
how can you beat that, or how can you judge that lower than what LaVine was doing? That
was insane. And like, okay, well, like if you ask me, they shouldn't just invite Aaron Gordon every year to be part of the dunk contest, just because he does some pretty amazing dunks.
Although I did go to a Hornets game one time where they were playing the Timberwolves, and this was when LaVine was still on there.
Yeah.
And the Hornets were up by like 26. I mean, we were whooping them. And LaVine got a breakaway and jumped from the free throw line in the game. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, man, absolutely, for sure. I mean, but yeah, you know, so that pretty much recaps All-Star Weekend. I mean, you did have the All-Star game. Wasn't really much of a game. It was more just how many points is Team LeBron going to score? Because Team Durant, I mean, yeah, they were there. But Team LeBron absolutely was amazing in that game.
Of course, they had LeBron, they had Steph, and
they had LeBron.
They had Giannis too, right?
Yes. Like the starting five for Team LeBron, this isn't even counting the reserves, was obviously LeBron himself, Steph Curry, Giannis, Jokic, and Luka Doncic.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
You cannot beat that team. And what's funny is every time I say all five guys in the lab, I can't help but think back to that interview they had with Giannis while he was eating like fried chicken or something. He was eating something. And the lady that was telling him that was like reading the team off. And he's like, oh, it's over. Oh, man, it's over. I mean, but once I heard about the starting five, it was crazy.
You know, I like to give LeBron hard times because a lot of people like to do that. But he can pick a pickup team. That's for sure. He can. He knows how to pick a pickup team.
Yes,
and
that's for sure.
Let me ask you this before we move on. I know we got some March Madness to talk about too. Since I didn't get to see it, I don't have much of an opinion on it.
Okay,
what was your take on it being a one night event? Do you like that, or would you prefer the skills and 3-point and all that to be on Saturday night and the game on Sunday night?
I would honestly prefer it to be on separate nights.
Yeah.
To be honest with you,
that's what I mean, if I were to have an opinion, I didn't get to see it. I would have what you have, but I just kind of, from somebody that watched a good bit of it, I want to ask.
I mean, well, I didn't get to see obviously the whole thing, but like that was part of the reason why I didn't see the whole thing was because it was all in one night, and I really just didn't feel like. I mean, like, that's a whole lot to have to go watch in one night. I mean, it's like, obviously, you got all the contests and stuff, which is cool to watch. But then by the time those are over, you're like, oh, man, we still got a whole, whole other thing left to play.
Do they do the whole, all the contests first and then the game?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, well, kind of how they did it is they kind of did part of it before, part of it in between. So, like, it was kind of like a halftime show, but not a halftime show.
Gotcha.
It was kind of one of those kind of deals where they kind of mixed and matched it every once in a while. But to answer your question, I would definitely rather have it on separate nights.
A traditional All-Star weekend.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'd rather it be a weekend instead of just a one-day thing.
Which the NBA probably would, too, because of tickets.
Right.
More money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, like that was one of the reasons I was kind of surprised they did have it on just one day for sure, you know, because you can get more money that way. Well, like, plus two, speaking from watching the All-Star, watching All-Star weekend for the MLB, like you obviously have the Home Run Derby one night, and then the next day you have the All-Star game.
Yeah.
If that was all on one day, that'd be too much to watch.
Sure.
So, you know, having that in two separate days is nice because you can watch the Home Run Derby the night before, and then that next afternoon you can watch the All-Star game, which is obviously pretty cool to see. You know, like, plus two, when you watch the Home Run Derby, it just gives the players an opportunity just to chill and just have fun.
Have fun.
Chill and just to have fun. And to kind of have that all in one night for the NBA, it lessens the players' chances of just being able to relax.
Oh, relaxing time.
Relax and just enjoy the weekend.
I got you. Cool.
At least for those who are in it. But
cool deal. Yeah, I was just curious. Awesome.
Yeah, man, for sure. All right. So, with the NBA portion of the show out of the way, let's talk some college basketball.
Yeah,
man.
Let's talk some college. I'm excited because, I mean, this is a prime time of year talk some college sports, which we rarely do on here.
Oh, yeah, man, for sure. You know, and obviously it isn't that we don't like college sports. This is that, you know, you don't really see as many breaking news headlines about college sports, you know, as opposed to
and if we talk about sports. If we talk about all pros and college sports all the time, we'd this be a two-hour podcast.
Oh,
but,
absolutely, for
but
sure.
But we can't go this month without talking about college basketball because, to quote John Rothstein, this is March. Okay.
Yes.
This is March. We got to talk some college basketball. March Madness is here.
We've had some
people punch their ticket already. So, yeah, what we got, Cody?
All right. So, for March Madness, Selection Sunday will be March 14th or this coming Sunday.
Yes, this coming Sunday.
As of this podcast, it'll be this coming Sunday. So, Selection Sunday will happen. And then the first four starts on March 18th, which is that following Thursday. And then the first round will begin on March 19th and 20th. And then once the first round is over, we'll have the second round, which will be on March 21st and 22nd. And then we'll have the Sweet 16, you know, which that's when the tournament really starts to get a lot of fun because it's that much closer.
Oh, yeah, it gets tense.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's when the tournament gets a whole lot more tense and, like, okay, you know, this is really close to it now. You know, then we got the Sweet 16 on March 27th and 28th. And then we got the Elite Eight that starts on March 29th and on March 30th. And then we got the Final Four, which starts on April 3rd,
mm-hmm.
which I always think it's funny that March Madness starts in March, but it always
ends
in April.
Because when it gets crazy, this is April. It's not March anymore.
Yeah, it's like, this is April. It's not March anymore. It's April. Yeah, but anyway, so you got the Final Four on April 3rd, and then obviously the National Championship game will be on Monday, April the 5th at 9 o'clock because, of course, it's at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, of course.
But anyway, so obviously
got some exciting time, and we will be mentioning that week by week throughout the whole tournament.
Absolutely, man, for sure, because, you know, we unfortunately didn't really get to have a March Madness last year because of COVID and everything. So whenever college basketball season started in general, I was like, okay, that's cool, college basketball season, but I'm waiting until March because I'm just excited to have March Madness back again.
Yeah, and we got conference tournaments going. Like right now, the ACC tournament started on Tuesday, and Miami beat Pittsburgh as I'm talking right now. They did advance, so Pittsburgh is out of the tournament. And now, right now, Duke's beating Boston College. So this is Duke's last chance, really, to get into the NCAA tournament. Because, I mean, they've had some crucial losses. Okay, and I'm not just saying this because I like picking on Duke because I'm a Carolina fan. They've had some really bad losses this year.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then when they got absolutely whooped by the Tar Heels on Saturday, which I loved, but coming from an unbiased side, that doesn't help at all.
Mm-mm.
Okay, making that a competitive game, maybe losing by two, maybe.
Yes.
Or beating them helps. I mean, Carolina hasn't played great this year either, that didn't help their resume at all. So right now, they're going to have to make the run of their lives in this tournament, in the ACC tournament.
Plus, it didn't help either that the number one player declared for the draft halfway through the season.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that didn't really help out their team as a whole either.
Which, you know, that's a whole other debate that I don't think we have time for today.
No, not really. But anyway,
wasn't a fan of that, even though he was a Dookie. But, so yeah, we got ACC tournament going. We've already had the Sun Belt tournament happened?
Yes, we
Appalachian State is going to the NCAA tournament.
App State's going to the tournament for the first time in how long?
You know, even people in Boone don't know App State has a basketball team. If you talk about them, they just have football, right?
Yeah.
That's like people down in Miami not knowing they have a hockey team. You know, I'm going to try to keep that joke going for weeks as long as I can.
Yeah.
But, I mean, people in Boone, they don't know about basketball. They play football up there. But now, Boonetown, Mountaineers, they got the NCAA tournament bid. That's awesome.
For sure.
And UNC Greensboro has got
– UNC Greensboro clinched their spot last night.
They won the SoCon. They won the SoCon tournament against Mercer. So Duke, if you make it, if Duke makes it, they don't have to worry about playing Mercer again.
Okay.
Or Lehigh, for that matter. So, hey, Duke fans, if you don't make it, best case scenario, you don't lose to Lehigh or Mercer this year.
Yeah,
so there you go. So, but, you know, ACC tournament's up. I believe Carolina plays a winner of one of these first-round matchups Wednesday night at 9. And you know, so I'm going to try to stay up and watch that. But I can't make any guarantees. But,
yeah,
this is getting exciting, man. March is here.
Absolutely, man.
Boy, oh, boy. You know, as crazy as this season has been with teams like Duke and Carolina playing so hot, Kentucky basically just being buried from week one. And other teams playing really well. Gonzaga still undefeated.
Okay.
As much as I'm kind of meh about that, this is going to be a wild tournament. That's for sure.
Absolutely, man.
And I always look forward to this time of year because it makes me think about when I was in school, they'd always roll in a TV into the room and we'd get some work done, but then we'd watch some of the ACC tournament during school because, you know, some of these games are during the middle of the day, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And, but we get to fill out a bracket. Like me and Amber, we always fill out a bracket.
Oh, yeah.
Just for bragging rights. And, Amber probably won't bet any money because she learned the hard way over the weekend not to bet against me because
she
lost $100 off something. Which go ahead and tell you, Cody, when you're married, when your wife bets you or you bet your wife, you're not really losing or gaining any money because we have the same bank account. So,
well, that's true, but still.
But
as far as the bragging rights go,
but just for punishment, she had to Venmo me $100, so it would show up on the social feed the Venmo that Amber paid me $100 when it's literally just we just transferred $100 to the same thing.
Yeah,
but still, so she'll learn the hard way not to bet against me this time. So this is March, man. This is gonna be fun.
I cannot wait, man. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Cody, let's talk some left turns, and then we'll talk some football before we get out of here, too.
All right, let's do it.
Well, we were racing in Viva Las Vegas this weekend. We weren't in Viva Marsh Vegas, which is, you know, where we are.
Right.
Las Vegas, sometimes, you know, I think they're jealous of Marsh Vegas because are they the home of Randy Travis? I don't think so.
No.
Okay? But say all that to say this. What about Kyle Larson, man? I mean, this is his fourth race since being reinstated by NASCAR, okay?
Yes.
He had a heck of a car on Sunday. That car was probably a tenth of a second faster in each turn than any other car in the field, and he dominated the last 15 laps of that race. I mean, once he got the lead from Keselowski, he didn't let up.
Mm-mm.
And even, you know, I have to go back and watch usually the last 30 or so laps because we're at church during that time. Because NASCAR, if you don't stop starting these races at 3:30, I'm going to lose my mind. But since they start conveniently at 3:30, I don't get to see the end of it because I'm at church because that's where I should be. But I go back and watch the last 20 or so laps later on. So I went back and watched that Monday during my lunch break.
Okay.
And, once he took that lead from Keselowski, he didn't let up. And I was like, how did he get through these lap cars so well? Because at places like Las Vegas, places like Atlanta, Charlotte, they're not the exact same, but they have similar builds to them because they're all owned by the same people. And like the only one that's not built the same by the same ownership is Bristol. But most of them are mile and a halfs with kind of a really quick turns, really quick corners.
Right.
And kind of a bumpy backstretch and stuff like that. But in these types of races, once the field gets going under green for such a long amount of time, you get really spaced out. And some of them really, so there's sometimes you have two or three wide, but majority of the time you're going to have single file going around.
Right.
Just because that's how the track's laid out. That's the type of package they have in the car with the horsepower, the downforce, all that stuff.
Plus it's kind of hard to have three wide on a track that has such sharp turns like that. Too.
Yeah. And for it to be a fast track, it does have some tight turns in it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially at Vegas. But so when I saw that he was getting up on lap traffic, I was like, how is he going to get through this so smoothly? And he cut through like a knife, a hot knife and butter. I mean, it was, it was ridiculous how quick he was getting through lap traffic, because before he got to the cars that were on basically in the back of the field,
right,
he was had like a 3.5 second lead on Keselowski, who was in second, which, I mean, that's a big lead in NASCAR.
Yeah, for sure. I was about to say.
He maybe lost 0.2 seconds going through lap traffic, which usually you can lose a second or two because you're having to slow down and figure out which way to go around him so you don't wreck. Because we saw last weekend in the Xfinity race when Noah Gragson was trying to pass a lap car, conveniently that lap car blew a tire as soon as Gragson was trying to pass him, and he put Gragson into the wall. Ooh. And Gragson didn't win that race, and he wasn't too happy about it, which he had reason to be upset.
But
Larson looked great. You know, it's a good comeback story for him. From, you know, he made a mistake, he said a word that definitely should never be said, okay, and he's made amends to it. He's went through some things to learn how to, you know, kind of get that out of his vocabulary, which is a good thing to do. And, you know, the first person there, which I thought was cool to congratulate him, I think one of them was Keselowski, but another one there to congratulate him was Bubba Wallace. And that was really cool to see, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so,
for sure.
You know, it's going to take a while for people to kind of get used to seeing Larson again. Some people might have a sour taste, okay?
Right.
But he understands that, too. You know, but, you know, the best way he can get back out there to redeem himself is to win races like this.
To win, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
And he'll get more sponsorship out of this. People will give him chances because he's racing good. My opinion, Larson's one of the best out there. Okay.
Oh yeah.
He was on dirt tracks last year when he was out of NASCAR Cup Series, and he was dominating the dirt races, and so he's a tremendous Cup driver, and I don't think this is his sole win this season.
Chances are, the way this season's gone so far, I doubt it.
Yeah, and a cool thing is four of the five winners, I can't remember, I'm lost count, this year so far, have brand new crew chiefs. So that early into the season, new crew chief driver relationships are already working out pretty good.
Oh yeah.
Not to mention, this is Hendrick Motorsports back-to-back win, you know?
Yes.
So, I mean, Hendrick's looking really good. Hendrick's kind of been in a lull past couple of years, especially with Jimmy Johnson not doing so hot.
Right.
But now they've won three of the last four races, including the championship last year. So Hendrick's looking pretty strong in them Chevrolets. Absolutely. But one more thing before I get off of NASCAR. I had to take a screenshot of this the other day, and me and Parrish were talking about this. So the lead commentator on NASCAR on Fox Sports is Mike Joy. Okay.
Yes.
He's the one that enunciates on there. You know, Jeff Gordon, he talks pretty proper. Clint Boyer is hilarious.
Whoa,
you know.
Yeah.
But Mike Joy is the guy that's like the lead commentator up there. You know, he's like the Al
Michaels
of that. Yeah.
I mean, he's like the Al Michaels or the Joe Buck or the Jim Nantz.
Exactly.
Of
NASCAR. And but so I mentioned Noah Gragson earlier getting upset about that lap car getting in his way.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so this tweet that Mike Joy tweeted is subtweeting Noah Gragson.
Okay.
Now, Mike Joy is way older than I am. He's been into sport for years. I mean, you go back and listen to NASCAR highlights, it's usually Mike Joy talking. Okay. Noah Gragson's about your age. Okay. He's a young guy in the Xfinity series, races for Junior Motorsports, Dale Jr.'s team.
Nice.
And some words that Noah Gragson said out of frustration can't be repeated on this show, but shouldn't have said that stuff. But he had reason to be frustrated, okay?
Uh-huh.
But in response to that, Mike Joy tweeted this, okay?
Okay.
It says, "Our sport has always, quote, funded drivers," okay? It says, "but it's high time a few of these privileged kids powered by daddy's pile of cash realize this whole sport doesn't exist just to make their dreams come true. Take some time to learn from those who've worked their way to the top."
Wow.
That's pretty bold to say that.
That's a pretty strong statement.
And to not say who you're talking about, you know. You know, I respect Mike Joy. He's got some really cool takes on stuff. He's a really great commentator. Like I said, he's been in sport for years. I didn't lose any respect over him for saying that.
But you
got to think about the drivers that are out there. 90% of them, they got started on daddy's money, okay?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not cheap to get into racing. Most of these guys, they start out on go-karts, okay?
Yeah.
It's not cheap. You can't just go out on Amazon Marketplace for $100 and get a go-kart and tires and a trailer and go race and hope you don't wreck, you know? I mean, it's not cheap to start that. Mm-hmm. You got to have somebody that's invested in you to get started. And most of these guys start when they're kids racing go-karts, and they just move up as they get older.
Right.
So, I mean, think about Chase Elliott. His dad's Bill Elliott, okay? He's got racing in his blood.
Yeah.
Dale Earnhardt Jr., hello, who's his daddy, okay?
Yeah.
But think Kyle Busch, Kurt Busch, all these guys, they came from pretty well-off places.
Oh, yeah.
But even places like, even people like Bubba Wallace, his dad paid for him to get to a certain point up to the truck series, I believe.
Yeah.
And then NASCAR took, he got some money out of like a diversity program and things like that.
Right.
But I think that was a little far-fetched for what Mike Joy had to say about that. Now, is he wrong in saying that Gregson should probably take some time and learn some of the car? Maybe not. Maybe that's okay. But I wouldn't direct this at people like Gregson. I would direct this at people like Quinn Huff, who are just out there just kind of to feel the field. But I just had to mention that and had to kind of give my response to it. That was a little bit of a low blow. And it kind of surprised me coming from somebody so well
like known someone as Mike so well Joy. Known and all yeah, that stuff, right?
Absolutely. But we got the race at Phoenix this week, and that's where the championship race is too. Always puts on a good show. We'll see what happens.
All right, man, sounds good. I guess we'll see.
All right, Cody, we got two big things. One's a national thing, one's more of a regional thing in football for us in the NFL.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott got his money.
Yes, he did.
What is it? It's a $160 million contract.
Over 4 years,
126 of it guaranteed cash.
Yes.
That means tomorrow, if they decide they want to cut him, nope. Got to pay him $126 million.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a record, by the way. That's a record for the most guaranteed money in NFL history.
Guaranteed money. And it was held by Kirk Cousins, right?
I believe so.
Right, when Kirk Cousins signed with the Vikings, I think all of his contract was guaranteed, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Or not all of it, but most of it.
Most of it was.
Yeah, but
not,
most of it.
Not $126 million, though.
Uh-uh.
Yeah. No. So talk about a job security.
Yes.
And not to mention there's a no-trade clause and a no-franchise tag clause in that contract.
Wow.
So he basically calls his own shots in that contract.
Yeah,
that's
pretty much.
That's awesome. So props to Dak for getting that.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know. I guess it's okay to go 8-8 every year when you get paid that much.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, hey, that was a low blow, man. That was a low blow to all of those Cowboys fans out there. But
Sorry, Yam.
It's all right, man. But as far as the Prescott contract goes, okay, I will admit, I was worried that he wasn't going to get paid again. He was going to get franchise tagged again, you know, because... Well, it didn't help that like the day of they agreed to the contract was the deadline for franchise tag day.
Yep.
So that kind of made it a little bit more dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, of course, that might have been on purpose. I don't know. But like
typical Jerry Jones.
Right. Of course. Yeah, for sure. Typical Jerry Jones for that to happen. But I'm surprised that a guy like Jerry Jones led up like that, though. Because I'm not saying it in a bad way. I'm just saying that Jones.
You're not wrong.
Jerry Jones likes to be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And
he likes to call shots.
He likes to call the shots. And this is the first time in a long time that I've seen Jerry Jones kind of let the player actually call the shots on a deal like that.
Yep.
You know, because I was for sure that they were going to franchise tag him again.
Yep. I
was for sure they were going to franchise tag him again, like just for Jerry Jones.
Just for Jerry, so he could remind him who's the boss.
Right,
kind
of
deal.
Who's the boss of the deal. Right, mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, so that was obviously something. I mean, like, I wasn't surprised he got paid. I was surprised it was the Cowboys that paid him, though.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Yeah. I mean, like.
That's a fair thing to say.
Like, not that I didn't think he wouldn't be with the Cowboys in the future. I just figured that if Prescott was going to be a Dallas Cowboy, it would either be one on the franchise tag or two of a contract for less money than what he was wanting.
Right.
And he'd just say, okay, whatever, and I'll take the deal.
Yeah.
Like, if he really wanted to stay in Dallas. But no, like, this is a thing that Jerry Jones kind of flip up a little bit, and like you said, Dak Prescott got what he wanted. So now this is the third franchise quarterback that Dallas has had under Jerry Jones, and that he's given big contracts to. Obviously, Troy Aikman back when they were actually winning Super Bowls, Tony Romo, obviously, whenever he was their guy, and now Dak Prescott, you know. But one of the main differences, in my opinion, at least compared from Tony Romo, is I think that Dak Prescott, at least for this Cowboys situation, has shown that he really needs
Jerry needs Dak more than Dak needs Jerry.
Absolutely. Yep. Yes, for sure. Like, I was trying to think of the right way to say it, but yes, that was pretty much right on what I was about to say. Because as far as the Cowboys' previous situations with Aikman and Romo, Jones didn't necessarily need those guys. I mean, obviously they were important to his team, mm-hmm. but you could have found something. Like, based off where those teams were at, you could have found some other way.
Right.
But the fact that the Cowboys are in the shape that they're in right now, just, you know, with them being just really, let's just be honest, they're kind of a very
mediocre
team.
Yeah.
Just so Jerry needs a guy like Dak Prescott in the locker room just to have that foundational quarterback just to build the team around him again, because the Cowboys are just in rough shape right now, man.
True. Absolutely.
For sure.
So, I mean, you know, Jerry's got his guy for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when we're talking about contracts and whatnot, as we get done with today's show, you know, the Panthers, they franchise tag Taylor Moten.
Yes, they did.
As a Tuesday. Right now, it doesn't look like they won't get a deal done with Curtis Samuel, which is kind of bittersweet.
Yes.
But if you're flipping a coin on those guys, I really hope it lands on Taylor Moten, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
We can find a special guy, a specialty guy like a receiver.
Again, yeah.
It's hard to find those solid
offensive linemen
like Moten, who played every game last year.
Yeah.
Did not get injured, was solid, probably got banged up a few times.
I'm sure he did.
He kept his strength, he kept up his game, played really, really good for us, and he's getting paid. Okay, well, he's not getting paid this year, but hopefully we can settle on a deal over the next season with this tag as a little security.
As a little security for him, just to say, okay, we want you, we just want to work out a long-term deal.
Better. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely, for sure. And just something funny I want to say about Dak Prescott before we end the show today is that, okay, whenever Dak Prescott was drafted, he was drafted in the fourth round of that draft. Okay, you know, and there were two notable quarterbacks that got drafted in the first round of that draft, and that was Jared Goff and Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
And Jared Goff and Carson Wentz have both since been traded from their teams that they were drafted by.
Yep.
And they were the number one and number two overall pick in that draft. Meanwhile, Dak Prescott, a fourth round pick in that same draft, has now secured his spot with the team that he was drafted by. And plus, too, he was the quarterback that obviously no one was going to think he was going to be as good as Wentz and Goff.
Those guys, I mean,
I think it's ironic that that happened.
Let alone those guys got the starting gig
right off the bat. Right off the bat.
Dak's time to shine was because of an injury from Romo.
Right.
So that's crazy that he stepped up when his number was called. Now he's getting paid for it.
Yeah.
So maybe since Patrick Mahomes didn't reply to my tweet, maybe I can tweet Dak and ask him if he'll buy me a Bronco. So we'll
see.
I don't know. But that's our show for the week, y'all. As we close out, I have today's Minor League Baseball Team of the Week. It is the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
The Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
They're formerly the Jacksonville Suns. I remember them mostly as being the Suns. I didn't know that they had rebranded to the Jumbo Shrimp. They were also the Jacksonville Expos there for a little while, too.
Really?
Believe it or not. But now they are part of the AAA East Division. They moved up to AAA this year.
Yes.
And they are the AAA affiliate for the Miami Marlins.
You know, which makes sense. Jackson, Miami.
Right there. Their logo is really cool because, of course, it's a shrimp.
Yeah.
He's jacked. He's got huge arms, kind of like got some Popeye arms going about him. And the shrimp's in the shape of a J. Pretty creative there.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
For sure.
Unfortunately, the Wikipedia page does not have their colors. I can tell you that it looks like there's a hint of navy, some red, and a little shrimp pink. Okay. So just use your imagination. Think of a cooked shrimp, that color, and navy blue. And I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Looks like they play at 121 Financial Park, and they are named for shrimp that are caught in the area. Shocker. So,
wow, really?
Maybe they're sponsored by Bubba Gump. I don't know. But that's our Minor League Baseball Team of the Week.
Sounds awesome, man. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
thank you, man.
Y'all have a good rest of your week. Follow us on all the social medias. Leave us a comment. Leave us a review. Leave us a message on Anchor. Small says if you don't leave a message, he'll come and find you and bite you. And we will see y'all next week as my voice is giving out. Y'all have a good week. Bye.